And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And Dan Fernandez is closing on some land deal, some huge tracts of land.
I know. Rumor is he has oil on him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? No, he's actually, he and his wife are out closing on their next house or some excuse for why he can't be here today and why I get to work with Clint. So good to have you back on the show, Clint.
I thought that was a punishment.
It's punishment for you. I am really happy to have you here. So, top story here. This is near and dear to your heart, Clint, which is the Kinect for Windows fall roadmap.
Yes, so they are going to be releasing a new version in, I believe it's October 6th?
8th.
8th. Mm-hmm. October 8th. So, in this, they talked just briefly about some additional things that they're adding in. They're not talking about everything, but it's also the new areas such as China,
Chile, Colombia, places that start with a C.
Yeah. And then they also added in additional access to data from different sensors for the depth and RGB camera.
Okay. So when you say additional areas, you're talking about areas you can actually buy the Kinect for Windows hardware, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. And so additional depth data that you can get into your application.
Yes.
So this is great. This is really cool. And a lot of people have been asking for some of those capabilities, and we'll be excited by that. So good stuff.
Yes.
And so the other one here is releasing a new sample browser for Visual Studio 2012 and 2010. I didn't have a chance to look this up, but I believe this is a new version of an existing sample browser that's been out for a while. But this is a way that you can get code samples directly into Visual Studio from a wide range of kind of recommended sources.
Yeah.
And so this is something that the Visual Studio team came up with.
So it's like kind of cool because you could do like, give me a Hello World program for a direct write.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, boom, there it is.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the other thing is it makes it really easy to download it straight into Visual Studio as opposed to necessarily needing to like go Bing for it or Google for it and then figure out how to download it, get the zip file, unblock the zip file. Yeah, so anyway.
Unblock all the DLLs. Blah, blah,
exactly,
blah.
Exactly. So last week we talked about a two-part sample that that Soma Segar took us through for building a Windows 8 app. This is a different sample that takes you through how to build a Windows 8 app that can take photographs and then automatically upload them to the cloud. So really nice scenario for showing a number of different capabilities in Windows 8, including how do you access the camera and then how do you automatically trigger workflows to upload to the cloud. So that's really cool. Yeah.
And same topic. So David here did a sample on using WinJS on using HTML5 a camera application. And the cool thing here is it actually goes through and talks about, well, hey, you get an error thrown here. Well, you need to turn this on, et cetera, et cetera. It's a good kind of, I'll use the term kind of a Hello World program sample, but it walks you through. And I really liked it because I have very minimal WinJS experience. So I thought it kind of was good at explaining how you do certain things.
Yeah, WinRT I can handle. It's a lot like .NET, but WinJS is all still rocket science to me. Yeah. I've never been very good at JavaScript, so that's good to see a lot more content coming out there.
All the casing stuff, that freaks me out.
Yes.
It's like lowercase, what?
Yeah, exactly. So using the trial API in your WinJS game, have you, you're familiar with this, right?
Yeah, so this is a cool little... I would use the term Hello World program. So what they did was they grabbed a from the JavaScript game template, and from there then they modified it to use the trial API and explain how you actually simulate, you know, someone actually buying the application and then what to do when said person has.
So when you say simulate, you can test this as a developer. Yes. You can see what is the experience for when somebody actually gets
it
my trial.
It simulates it saying, hey, you know, it purchased. At least according to the article.
Okay, and so are there? There's a couple different ways to do trials. You can either cripple the functionality, or you can time bomb it. Is that right? So that you can only use it for 30 days or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the guidance is, but yeah, it would be more of a this is how you'd how you'd boost up and say, okay, well, this is a trial versus this is a full.
Right. Okay.
And it's up to the developer how what they would want to do. Do you want to give a person a full app or a partial app, reduce the functionality? Some people say, hey, here's the app, but I'll show you ads if it's a trial version.
Okay. Yep. Sounds good. So you remember SourceForge? I haven't used SourceForge in years, but...
Actually, you know what I use SourceForge for? Is getting the Tortoise SVN client.
Yes, that, and there's another tool that I get off SourceForge, which is, it's the windowing tool, the KVM tool, Synergy.
Synergy.
Is over on SourceForge. But now you can see this I don't know what I'm supposed to call it now, the old Metro-style interface is coming to the Windows 8 Center at SourceForge. So this is a partnership between Microsoft and SourceForge to offer a ton of developer-centric code and samples and tips and all sorts of other stuff for building Windows 8 applications. So if you live and breathe on SourceForge, this is a new way for you to get started building Windows 8 applications.
Awesome.
Yeah. So .NET 4.5 has this task parallel library support.
Yes.
And it looks pretty powerful. It's a way that you can schedule tasks that can be parallelized and kind of picked up, kind of like workflow. I guess there's probably a relationship between workflow and TPL. Unfortunately, neither you or I have actually taken advantage of TPL applications before, so we don't know a lot about this.
Yes.
But if you were going to get
started
with this, there's a primer available, the .NET 4.5 Parallel Data Flow Primer. Which I'm sure would take you through how to use
yes.
all that stuff.
And if we actually had enough time, we would have gone through
yes,
that.
Yes, in our infinite spare time. I wish I could parallelize myself to go do stuff in the background I'm doing other things. It's been one of those days. So, you got pretty excited about this.
Visual
Studio 2012,
did.
Did you call me?
I did. I meant to call you, but I'm sorry.
You texted me.
So this is a cool little feature that is built into Visual Studio 2012, where you can start actually. So you have your file, your CS file, whatever, and then you can expand it out, and it actually shows you all the methods in it, and you can right click on that and say show who called me. So then you can go in and say, okay, so this function. If you've used ReSharper, it's very similar to the find usage. Mm-hmm. capability, but you can do this within the Solution Explorer.
Now, is this different than find all references? This is actually like in a debug session, who called into you,
yes.
like in a debug time runtime.
You can say who calls this, and then who is. There's a couple different options.
Yeah.
The article goes into it. I don't want to misspeak here.
Okay.
But it basically made me go that is useful.
Right. It's going to save your bacon. All right. Sounds good. So that brings us to IL rewriting for beginners, which is kind of like it's kind of an oxymoron, I think. It's kind of like, I don't know, brain surgery for couch potatoes or something like that. I don't know. No, I don't mean to alienate couch potatoes. That's probably 80% of our viewing audience, including me. But this is this looks like a really cool way to get started. And he gives a few examples of why you might want to rewrite the IL. One example being, what if you need to test a library and assume that instead of using system date and time, you're using some date in the future or past, and you're using this third-party library that relies on system date and time, but you want to override that for testing purposes.
Yep.
Well, with newer frameworks, you could mock that out, but on some older operating systems, you're not always able to do that. Like the newer framework I'm thinking of is like being able to use fakes in Visual Studio 2012,
yep.
But that's not going to work on operating systems that are older. So here's how you could actually go out and rewrite the MSIL to kind of override those values for testing purposes or for evil malicious purposes, if that's what you intend to do. But you know, I've always kind of disassembled IL. I've never actually tried to rewrite it. And so this is a good article to take you through understanding
yeah.
how to do that.
It's one of those things that will make me curl up in the fetal position.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, a lot of things will make you do that.
True.
So that brings us to picks of. I'm gonna wait for you to finish.
Sorry,
drinking.
Sorry. I was parched.
I need some enthusiasm. Some picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
All right, your pick of the week. What is this? World's funniest Halloween costume.
This was on Needorama, and I saw this, and this is like one of those things that I would love to build. So this guy actually has a 24-inch monitor for his head, and he projects his own head from a device within.
So his head is inside of this guy.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's so crazy.
And there's a camera pointing at him inside of this thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then like he can see outward and people can see inward. And I'm just thinking of like the weight and the balance. And then the fact that it has to be powered by batteries, he needs an inverter. It's just, it It's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy, but it seems like something you would go spend the weekend building.
I kind of want to now.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty awesome. So kudos to this guy. My pick of the week is the awesome new Nokia phones. And so I'm just digging through the announcements because we're filming this on the same day that a lot of this stuff is coming out. But the one thing that that did catch my eye with the new Nokia phones is the wireless charging that they're bringing to Windows phones. So if I'm not mistaken, that's the first Windows phone to actually have wireless charging. And so what is it, the 920?
The 920, it's built into it, and I believe the 820, you can get a wireless back for it to do it. To me, it's just like, I get to see everyone having like one in the office, a charger at home, because then it's like you just throw your phone on it and you're good.
It's never, I do wonder about the battery memory, because I try to only plug in my phone like once a day, so that you don't, you just do it all the time, doesn't matter.
I just don't care.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then I could also like come to your office where you've got your wireless charging station and just throw my phone down for a few minutes while we're hanging out.
Additional features, NFC. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're big screens. I think it's a 4.3 and a 4.5 inch screen on them. PureView camera technology, just lots and lots of cool stuff built into them.
If the screen gets any bigger, you could actually use that for projecting your face from that Halloween costume.
And the nice thing is, so this is Windows Phone 8. There's also the Samsung, and HTC will have phones as well as probably other carriers and OEMs. I mean, the nice thing is I can have one, you can have a different brand, and we all know exactly how everything should work.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's nice seeing this new wave of phones coming out. And have they announced timing? I didn't see that. When you'll be able to actually buy one for my hot little hands?
They did not.
All right, so stay tuned. And we'll see you next week.
Cool.